You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Talking about sin may be out of date, but sin is not out of date.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. The International Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded transcript of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by Dr. Oswald Hoffman, Lutheran Hour speaker. It is our prayer that it will bring hope and joy to your life.
God, set us free from our sins and from the death that is separation from you and your saving power. For the sake of your Son Jesus, who died for our sins, free us from the guilt and from the penalty of our sins. Forgive us, Lord, by your great kindness, and give us life by your great power in Christ our Lord. Amen. Jesus Christ came preaching the law of God and the gospel of God. It was bad news and good news, and it was all from God. He sent his apostles out into the world that repentance and forgiveness of sins might be preached to people everywhere. Repentance is bad news. It takes for granted that somebody has sinned. Otherwise, there would be no need for repentance. Forgiveness is good news. It also takes for granted that somebody has sinned. Otherwise, there would be no need for forgiveness. Sin is one of those subjects people don't like to talk about these days. It's something people talked about in the past, maybe, but now it is out of date. Sin is not out of date. Talking about sin may be out of date, but sin is not out of date. Young people know it, and so do older people. Even children know it, along with their parents. You don't have to convince people that there is sin around. They just don't want to talk about it, that's all. One of the best-known psychiatrists in the world has published a book in which he calls upon preachers to talk about sin. Dr. Carl Menninger believes that preachers ought to call a spade a shovel. He also feels that people should do the same thing. Sin is sin, and it might as well be called what it is. I don't have to convince you that you are a sinner before God. You are also a sinner before other people, even though you may think you have concealed that fact from them. But there's no question about the fact that you are a sinner before God. You're not going to argue with me about that, and I'm not going to argue with you about that. We have all sinned and come short of the glory God has a right to expect of each one of us. What I am going to talk about to you today is the common excuse, which sometimes becomes a complaint. Don't blame me. I am what I am, so don't blame me. I inherited a lot of things from my parents, so don't blame me. I was forced to do what I did, so don't blame me. Everybody else is doing it, so don't blame me. The excuse or the complaint becomes almost a universal whine. St. James, a practical pastor, took up this common problem, which he probably often met in his ministry. He said, "Happy is the person who remains faithful under trials, because when he succeeds in passing such a test, he will receive as his reward the life which God has promised to those who love him." if a person is tempted by such trials, he must not say, this temptation comes from God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself tempts no one. But a person is tempted when he is drawn away and trapped by his own evil desire. Then his evil desire conceives and gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. That's a pretty good description of what some people call life. Actually, St. James said, it can better be described as death. It begins as a simple desire, easily excused and explained away, which produces sin. And sin produces death. That's life, as many people know it, a kind of living death. All of us are naturally defensive about our weaknesses and even our mistakes. We become positively paranoid when we are faced with accusations based upon those weaknesses and mistakes. Somebody is out to get us, and we are going to defend ourselves by giving as good as we get or as bad as we get. When people find out that we are not perfect, even though they don't press the matter, we react almost instinctively. Don't blame me. Passing the buck has become almost a worldwide pastime. It takes a very strong man and also a very perceptive one to have a sign on his desk, as Harry Truman did, saying, the buck stops here. The buck stops right where you are, said St. James. A person is tempted when he's drawn away and trapped by his own evil desires. Then his evil desire conceives and gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. St. James hits pretty hard at all that injured innocence which makes people, both young and old, respond so readily with, who, me? People who have been caught red-handed, committing a crime, are disposed to blame everybody else for their problems. Their parents, their associates, their neighbors, their circumstances, their weaknesses, even their God. You don't have to be a criminal to do that. Ordinary sinners do it too. Children whose lies are discovered and parents whose actions belie their words all do it. Rich people do it and poor people do it. Educated people do it and uneducated people do it. Everybody does it. Don't blame me. Can be heard every day in just about every office, every factory, every school, every highway, and every home, not to speak about every church. Whenever anything happens, the first thing almost everybody says is, don't blame me. You are not called upon to blame yourself for things you have not done. God does not call upon people to have a feeling of guilt for things they have not done. Religion has often been charged in the modern age with giving people a sense of guilt which they do not deserve to have. Maybe some religion has done that. It made people feel guilty about doing things which God neither commanded nor prohibited. Religion has often turned molehills into mountains, just as it has turned mountains into molehills. Very religious people in our Lord's time, the most rigid and pious of them all, worried about tithes in little things, but were not at all concerned about justice, mercy, and the great things of the law of God. No, there are plenty of things to feel guilty about, without trying to find things for which you can make yourself feel guilty. What we are talking about is real guilt, the deep-seated feeling that you have done something wrong, have injured someone, and have offended a just and righteous God. Everybody has that, and everybody feels it. Hiding it away and trying to keep it quiet will do no good. It will still be there. It will be there because there is a God who holds us responsible for what we are and for what we have done. I know this will sound strange to some people listening to me today. It will sound strange only because they have never thought of it that way. God has no place in their thinking, and they live just as if there were no God. Some of them have even been taught to live as if there is no God. But that does not change anything. The feeling of guilt still remains, because there is a God. Everybody deep down inside knows that and feels it and has to live with it. God is offended by our misdeeds, our missteps, and even our mistakes. We can't make all of that good, and our failure to do so leaves us all with a deep-seated feeling of guilt that is not fictional, but factual. Guilt cannot be explained away as fictional, and it cannot be worked out by the usual excuse, "Don't blame me." We are all human, and we all have human desires. Those desires can be good or bad. Most of them, experience shows, are bad. Selfish desires produce sin. Sin produces a feeling of guilt, and the harvest of guilt is death. Everyone who ever spoke for God in the whole history of the world has always called upon people for repentance. Nations have been summoned to repentance. Men and women have been urged to repent. Boys and girls understand very well the language of repentance. Repentance is not self-improvement to make you look good in the eyes of others. Repentance is self-abasement in the face of a righteous God. In the olden days, repentance meant that people put on the roughest kind of sackcloth and sat in a heap of ashes for everyone to see that they were sorry before God. They took responsibility for their sins. And they said, "I'm sorry," instead of, "Don't blame me." The Bible tells us that all of us were born into this world with a disposition to go our own way instead of God's way. Experience has proved the Bible right there, too. It's quite human to want to do your own thing, no matter what God might want you to do. We all have this original sin, as theologians have called it, and we all have the feeling of guilt that goes with it. It helps to explain why the world acts as it does, why people are what they are. It is at the bottom of the world's failure to live up to its own expectations, its own ambitions, and its own ideals. It is the basis for the modern discovery that whatever you do to make things right that have gone wrong only makes things worse. With only their humanity to draw upon, people come to bat, to use a term from baseball, with one strike against them. It may seem to be unfair, but whoever said that life was fair? The unrighteousness of people cannot be blamed on God or on anyone else. That's our responsibility, and we had better get used to it. With one strike against them, people then go into that double play business which snuffs out even their best efforts. On the old Chicago Cubs baseball team, there was a beautiful double play combination which has gone down into history. It was called Tinker to Evers to Chance. Tinker to Evers to Chance in the world of morality is desire to sin to death. Don't blame God for that. It's your responsibility. When a man sins, he is trapped by his own desires. Sin is born in the heart, says the Bible. It begins deep down inside with what people are and what they want. It comes out in the things they say and the things they do. The things run from little selfishnesses to big excesses, all of which are sin, muddying the stream of life and doing injury to others as well as to those who are responsible for that injury. Sin is real. And repentance for sin has to be real, too. There has to be a real turnaround, a real change of heart, a real reversal of mind and spirit to be called true repentance. Everybody needs to repent. Religious people need to repent, and irreligious people need to repent, too. People need to repent of their own sins rather than of the sins of others. It's easy to repent for the sins of somebody else. It's difficult to repent of your own sins. All of us need to repent of our own sins before we can call upon others to repent of their sins. A friend of mine in the ministry told me about a woman who talked to him at the church door after he preached the sermon on gossip. She said, "Pastor, today you stopped preaching and started meddling." Another woman said, "Well, that's the first time I ever was told that I was a sinner in church." People need to be told that they are sinners in church and everywhere else. They need to be told that they are sinners over the radio. All of us need to be reminded that we are sinners. Failing or refusing to worship God in your own life is a sin. Failing to honor your parents is a sin. Doing bodily injury to somebody else and refusing to help people in all their wants and needs is a sin. Playing fast and loose with the property of others is a sin. Slandering other people or telling half-truths about them is a sin. Living by covetousness rather than by generosity is a sin. Living by the love of money or by the love of anything else for that matter, instead of by the love of God, is sin. I didn't make these things sin. God did. It's the law of God that failure or rebellion in any of these areas is sin. And only repentance for sin will do. You can't say, don't blame me. That's a cop-out, as the young people say. Face the truth. If you are trapped by your own desires, that desire produces sin. Sin produces death. Repentance for sin comes to people who have faith in God that He forgives sin. Genuine repentance comes from the kindness of God when you see Him in His Son, Jesus Christ. That's the reason for all the preaching of Christ. He makes life different and worthwhile again. In Christ, God forgives sin. He forgives everyone who is penitent and says, I'm sorry, instead of, don't blame me. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just for the sake of His Son, Jesus, who died for our sins, to forgive us our sins. Jesus is your man. He became a man for you. He went around preaching repentance and forgiveness of sins. He died for the sins of everyone. And He calls everyone to repentance by His death on a cross for all of us. He took the curse of sin for us, that we might receive by adoption the name of sons and daughters in God's family. Be not deceived, said St. James, my dear brothers. Every good gift and perfect gift comes from heaven, comes down from God, the creator of the heavenly lights, who does not change or cause darkness by turning. By His own will, He brought us into being through the word of truth, so that we should have first place among all His creatures. Jesus Christ took all the guilt of original sin and of sins that we commit by our own acts, words, and thoughts. And He forgives. He gives power to do good by His Spirit. New life in Christ leads to faith and to good works. It's God doing His thing for the sake of His Son in all those people who have become sons and daughters of His. By faith in Jesus Christ. In Christ you find freedom and life and light. Instead of saying, don't blame me, say to God, please, Lord, for the sake of Jesus, don't leave the blame on me. God's answer to that prayer is, all right, I take your blame into my own heart. I forgive you, and I set you free. Let that kindness of God, my friend, set you free. His kindness leads you to repentance for your sins, and His kindness frees you from the guilt of your sins for the sake of Jesus, who died that you might live. If the Son has set you free, you will be free indeed. Amen.
Recorded transcript of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by Dr. Oswald Hoffman, Lutheran Hour speaker. If you have found this message helpful for your own life, may we suggest that you share the cassette with others. This cassette service is a special ministry of the Media Programs Department of the International Lutheran Layman's League.